are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so true manhood, we know, is not just about fitting in. It's more about standing firm and standing out and being true to who God has called you to be. Now, in a world where masculinity is often shaped by trends and expectations and pressure from one's peers, it takes real strength to be principled and to remain in the truth of who you are. We know Jesus stood alone in crowds. We know Daniel stood alone in crowds, Joseph and others, and their boldness was not about rebellion. It was rooted in purpose. And so this is the conversation we're having this morning, and we're going to be joined on the line by Elder Kulati. My Elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Sisi. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Elder. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for bringing me on, and good morning to your listeners.
Amen. Glad to have you on. Now, my Elder, why is it that peer pressure seems to be such a powerful force for young men today? And I wonder, is it worse today, do you think, than it used to be back in the day?
I think it is increasingly getting worse because of the power of social media. Because what we never knew existed, or what we never knew people were doing, now is put on display all over the world in small bite-sized chunks, on video, in voice. So things are moving very, very fast, and peer pressure is increasing even more, in my opinion, today.
And why is it? Why is it such a powerful force, do you think, for men in particular?
There are a number of reasons. First and foremost, peer pressure is sort of the influence that others have on us to behave in a certain way, especially to fit in and be accepted. So there's a need that we all have, that we all have internally, to be recognized, to be acknowledged, to be accepted, and to be known. That desire opens us up to both positive and negative pressure from peers. And so it is that desire that's the driving force. But apart from that, as we know as Adventists, we know of great controversy. So also the devil is using that to his advantage to come in from the outside. In other words, where he's pushing his narrative to come through. So those are two powers, the need that we have for acknowledgement internally, just the normal need that people have, and then the external pressure from the evil one using all of these messages and lifestyles and ways of believing and all of that to sort of overwhelm us up until we have a stronger foundation in God and in his word. We are going to collapse under it.
Now, what does it look like to stand for your values without becoming isolated? I know that's a fear for a lot of people. If you're different or if you're the odd one out, you're afraid of being, you know, isolated or pushed out of whatever group that you're trying to be accepted into. What does it look like to just continue standing true to your true values and principles without becoming isolated? Or is isolation just a part of it that you can't avoid?
Yes. You know, peer pressure says to us, be like everyone else. You know, don't stand out. Whatever it is, it's not that serious. It's just one time. It won't hurt you. But then the scripture says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this is one of the ways in which people can start off standing on firm ground. You also need to understand that there are consequences to giving in to peer pressure. Firstly, you lose your moral compass that you were taught, that you grew up with. You know, you damage your witness to others. In other words, you weaken your strength that you could have over others by compromising and giving in to them. You also sometimes break trust with people that love you when you give in to this, to these things. You are becoming double-minded, and in the process, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. So How do we stand strong against peer pressure? Firstly, I just want us to be practical. People need to know their identity in Christ. In other words, you are not defined by your workplace, by what people are doing. You're not defined by your friends, by your job, by your past. You are defined. You are basically defined by the Word of God. You know, when I started working years ago, I worked for a company that all my bosses basically were cursing. Literally, every word was followed by a curse.
Yeah.
And I was very young then, in my 20s. And I found myself one day, you know, using the same curse language. I had never done that in my life. And I it struck me while I was in that situation that I have lost my identity. I have actually succumbed to the pressure that was there. But soon thereafter, I made a decision. I went home and prayed. I made a decision never to do that, because it was not who I am. It was not who I was raised to be. So I had to recognize that because I was in Christ, I'm now a new creation. So people need to know their identity in Christ, not identity in culture, not identity in their superior, but identity in Christ. And a man who knows who he is cannot be shaken by what other people think. The second issue I want to talk about is that we need to build convictions from the Word of God. These days, because of the peer pressure and the social media and busyness of life, we don't make time to read the Word of God.
Yeah.
We don't make enough time to do that or even meditate on it. Now, we need to have non-negotiables in our lives where we need to meditate on the Word of God, on the truth, so that when we are anchored in God's words, we are not going to be swayed. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's David where he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So most of the times, peer pressure pushes us to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. But if we hide the Word of God inside our hearts, it becomes like a growing seed that grows and grows in us and pushes out the need for us to conform. I think the other issue, you'll tell me when you want me to stop, but the other thing is choose your circles wisely.
Right.
Who are the people that are surrounding you as a man? What are their values? What are their dreams? What are their practices? What are their lifestyles? You need to surround yourself with godly men, people that share your belief system. Mm-hmm. Or people that are going to challenge you. For example, I have a friend of mine. We have been friends since we were young. He's my accountability partner. So at any moment, he can phone me and ask me, you know, you were traveling on business. You know, what temptations did you meet? You know, how did you engage with that?
Right.
He sometimes watches me or let's say listens to this podcast later.
Yeah.
He would phone me up and say, you know, you were speaking, but why did you put it like that? You know, let's talk about it. You know, could you not have said it like this? Why were you so harsh? Or whatever the case may be. I do the same thing to him. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to surround ourselves with people that will hold us accountable, encourage us, and sharpen us. Because Proverbs says, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. And this is very important.
Sure. But I'm just thinking about, when I think about surrounding oneself with wise counsel and godly friendships and brotherhoods, I'm thinking of the young man out there who doesn't really have control over, you know, the people who come to his school or his place of work. You talked about the influences at your own first work place of work and how that started to influence you. And only by God's grace, you were convicted that you were not, so you didn't have to, you know, follow in the same direction as the culture in your workplace. What about that young man who's stuck in those kinds of spaces because of where he lives or where he goes to school or where he works? He's surrounded by people who are not necessarily godly men, but those are the ones he tends to spend most of his time with.
And this is a real problem. It's a real problem for many, many young men. Now, and especially when they look at older, more successful, influential men behaving in ways that are not right. So the only thing that I can say is that people need to grow their sense of self-worth. Understand that you matter, you value, your views matter, your beliefs matter. And in other words, you don't have to subscribe every you know to everyone that's around you. You need to affirm your own child of God. The other thing is that sometimes we do not we're not observant. I thank God that in that moment that I found myself succumbing, the Holy Spirit made me to be observant of what just happened. It put the presence of mind to my words that I shared in that context. And I think we need to create a space to listen to the way that we speak, to observe our thought patterns. As young people, if we can develop that set of skills of accepting your agency as a person and being observant to make sure that you acknowledge your self-worth. You don't have to do everything. So it's a belief system. Sometimes we forget it. The other thing is to say to people, just tell someone, maybe at your workplace, to give you feedback. You know, give you feedback about how you handled things. Let's say you are in a meeting or something like that. Just give you feedback how you do things in life. Many of us do not like to get feedback. And we do not create opportunities for others to just give us feedback about how we come across, you know. And for young people and for young men, we need, this is where the issue of who do you identify as your role model. That's very, very, very important. Who do you identify as a role model? Look, you can, there are people that are worldly and all of that, that you can learn something from them, let's say on business. Or you know on you know on how to establish something, but you don't have we used to call it a fishbone approach. You know when you're eating fish, those that eat fish, when you're eating fish, so that the fish does not stick in your mouth and hurt you, you find a way of getting the meat out of the fishbone and throwing away the fishbone itself. So what young people need to learn, even among the people that they aspire to in business world, but that are worldly, you need to take out of them what edifies you, what adds value to what you want them to do, and throw away what does not serve you.
Beautiful, beautiful. And speaking of mentors, role models, what role do they play in resisting peer pressure or helping young men to resist peer pressure?
You know, one of the things that I do, I'm an executive coach, a leadership coach. So I train people on giving feedback and share with them some models of feedback. You need to open yourself up to certain people to give you targeted and meaningful feedback that you put into your schedule. You know, it could be a church. You were doing a Sabbath school lesson, or you were speaking, or whatever was happening. But you, and in fact, generally in life in general, you need to have a way in which you get feedback from people. In that way, you become you deal with your you know, when you drive, you have these blind spots.
Yes.
You deal with your blind spots by getting someone who's going to be honest, kind to you, who wants the best out of you. And for me, that is that I find that is very important. So for young people, they need to go to someone and ask those people to be their mentor and say, this is what I would expect from this relationship, mm-hmm. and formalize it where possible. You know, it could be their father, it could be their uncle, it could be anyone. But you need to have someone that you're accountable to. I mean, if you look at least the political situation here in South Africa, mm-hmm. and you look at some of our leaders, the way they speak, the way they behave, they're not accountable to anyone. Mm-hmm. And we need a different atmosphere mm-hmm. and a mindset in the church.
That's powerful. And then this is the world that we're living in, it often rewards compromise, and you'll find people telling you, hey, it's not that serious, like relax, you know, this is the world, this is how the world works, relax, you can't stand true to your principles at all times. How can Christian men cultivate courage in those kinds of environments where compromise is rewarded, where standing firm is often looked down on and you're looked at as rigid?
I like the word that you used. You used the word cultivate, mm-hmm. courage. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. This is the word that we find in the book of Genesis, where God was giving a purpose to people, saying you need to cultivate the land. Mm. So basically, cultivation is an ongoing thing. It's like a muscle. Mm-hmm. You develop it. Mm. You say no to small things, okay. small temptations. You speak up when something is wrong. You don't laugh at that inappropriate joke. Mm. You don't share it with others. In that way, you are practicing courage in small things. Mm. So we need people that are conscious, what is called conscious leadership. We need people that see themselves as leaders, as influencers, not in the way that the world defines influence, because you influence with your words, you influence with your lifestyles, the things that you do, you post on social media, and all of those things. So people need to see themselves, they have to have a mindset of being a leader, and it does not have to be a positional leadership, because leadership is a way of life, is a mindset, not a position. So you don't have to wait to be elected. You need to behave now and believe that you are created by God to cultivate the courage of leadership.
Wow, I love that. Leadership is a mindset, not a position. That's powerful. And finally, how did Jesus model strength under pressure? I mean, he's our ultimate example. What do we learn from him?
Hey, you see Jesus best in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Okay.
When he was facing the toughest, in fact, one of the most difficult moments of his life, when his closest friends were sleeping, when it was dark, and when it was difficult, but Jesus encouraged himself by praying, by relying on the power of God to strengthen him. Mm. Even heaven decided to send Elijah and Moses to strengthen him, because we need to understand that when we activate heaven by prayer, heaven responds to us. So what we need to do, we need to pray. Mm. And we cannot overemphasize that. We need to pray as young people. Jesus also, you see this in the cross of Calvary, when he's up there being given all the nasty stuff to drink and being beaten and spat upon, but he looks out into the crowds and sees his mother, and he says to John, look after the woman, look after my mother. Mm. When he's at the most difficult, but you see powerful glimpses of strength. Mm. Strength that comes from conviction of who he was. Because remember, when he was being baptized, you know, in the river of Jordan, the word came through and said, this is my son in whom I am pleased. So that identity carried him all the way to the cross, such that at his weakest moment, he was strengthening others. As men, we need to imbue that mindset that Jesus had on the cross, and even in the Garden of Gethsemane, so that We can, even at our weakest point, we can derive strength from what Jesus did and strengthen others.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. And any final words just to wrap up the conversation? Any words that you'd like to share with the young men who might be listening or anyone who might be raising a young man about how to stand firm in the face of the pressure that one might be feeling in uncomfortable environments?
I just want to say to the to us as men, especially young men, our strength to stand firm doesn't just impact us. Mm-hmm. So we need to think about others. We need to think about other people. Because it empowers, it teaches, and all of that, and then so that we don't just take what is happening and think it just ends there. It carries on. It has more impact, and so we need to be the stewards of our impact.
Amen. Amen. Powerful words. Thank you so much, my elder. God bless you, and have a blessed day further.
Thank you so much. Just take good care.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.